Isaiah tonight, Isaiah chapter 25, Isaiah chapter 25. It's been a few weeks, and so you may have forgotten, and that's okay, but Isaiah 24, we spoke about the tribulation, and so it kind of runs with what we're doing concurrent in our study of the book of Revelation. And this week, as Isaiah spoke about the tribulation and really specifically focusing on the Jews, now he's moved forward, and he's talking about the millennial kingdom. So we've got a happy time here. I do want to remind everybody that next Sunday morning, we have Sunday school, but that everybody's in here with Pastor Carter in his class, because we use the entire other side of the building except for the nursery for the carnival. So ladies, college and career, and youth, you're all in here with Pastor Carter. We're all doing, the youth isn't, but all the adult classes are doing the same thing anyway, so our series will continue on. But I just want to remind everybody, we're right in here. It'll be good, but we just need the space. We need to do it because this is our big annual event. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we enjoy it, but that, as Pastor Jamie said, that they know why we celebrate Christmas. That carnival's fun, but that there's more to it than carnivals and gifts and trees, that Jesus Christ is at the center of it all. Amen. And so we're looking forward to that next week. Well, in your Bible, Isaiah chapter 25. You don't have to stand with me tonight. No major text as far as how we're going to stand here. But redeemed Israel is the focus here. Redeemed Israel. So after the tribulation, there's this time where the Bible says, and so all Israel shall be saved. That the entire nation will have the blindness that has impacted them for lo these many years, and they'll see it. Now listen, they got to get saved the same way you and I do. They've got to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and get saved by the blood of Christ. But there's this supernatural revealing to them that God will do, I believe, in that day. And we'll see the children of Israel saved, praise God. And we'll see God's chosen people finally get it. And we're going to look at some of that today. So they're going to sing this praise, this song of praise unto the Lord. It's really interesting, because it's almost like what we're singing tonight, that the battle belongs to you and above all. And we don't really add it up that way. I had no idea that I would be back tonight in Isaiah in this chapter when we put those songs together. But it's just funny how the Holy Spirit does things, isn't it? And so we see that here tonight. So they're going to be singing this song of praise, Isaiah chapter 25. We're going to skip down. We're going to do something different. We're going to go all the way down to verse 7. So I've kind of given you an understanding of what's going on in the prior verses. And so we're going to see what happens now in the millennial kingdom. Verse 7 says, and he will destroy in this mountain, speaking of Mount Zion, speaking of Jerusalem, the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil which is spread over all nations. The scales, or the spiritual blindness of Israel, that we know, if you were with us in Isaiah 6, you don't have to turn there tonight, but Isaiah 6, 9 through 10 says, and he said, go and tell his people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. So God put this spiritual blindness on Israel because of their continual rejection of him in the Old Testament. Paul gives us a similar quote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And again, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it. But if you want to write these down for note-taking sake, 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, Paul gives us this understanding of what's going on with the children of Israel in his day even. And so we're talking 700 years later, and Paul in this chapter tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, he tells us that blindness in part has come to Israel as well. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So they don't see that Christ is the Messiah. Even until this day, Paul was talking about the first century, but even until this day, Israel still is blinded. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we pray for Israel, but the majority of Israelite Jewish people are blind, and they're still in their sin because they are still looking for the Messiah, so they don't celebrate Christmas, right? They got Hanukkah, but they don't celebrate Christmas. It's not the same. They aren't celebrating that Christ came to earth. They're still waiting for Christ to come. They're still blind. Now, if I was looking around and I was Jewish and I would say, man, our fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the stuff that's happened over the years, I'd be saying, you know, maybe we got this thing wrong. Maybe we got to turn to Jesus. Maybe we got to look around and see how everybody keeps invading us, and or not invading us necessarily, but being mad at us, and there's anti-Semitism going around, and everybody hates the Jews. Maybe, perhaps, there's something to this Jesus guy. But there's blindness. But in this day, in Isaiah, back in Isaiah 25, that blindness has been removed. But also the spiritual darkness of the Gentile world will be removed. In that verse, it says that all, over all nations. In verse 8, he will swallow up death and victory. Heard that before? Isaiah says it. Paul requotes it in 1 Corinthians 15:54. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But we see this here in this verse, in verse 8. He shall swallow up death and victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath removed it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 speaks of the Lord removing all tears from their eyes, that there's no more pain or sorrow there. Elvis used to sing the song. It's a Christian song, but I remember Elvis singing it famously. There will be peace in the valley. And technically, what he was singing about is the millennial kingdom. But in this time, there is no more. In verse 9, it says, in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. He will be glad and rejoice in salvation, in his salvation. In this time, there is no more anti-Semitism. There is no more racial hate towards the Jews. God's people and Gentiles alike will exalt his great name worldwide. That's unfathomable for us, guys. That has never, ever, in a large scale, happened in the history of mankind. There's always been a persecuted Jewish nation, and there's always been upheaval inside of Israel and outside of Israel. It's never been where together, combined, the people worldwide. People are in the millennial kingdom aren't proclaiming Allah or Buddha anymore. Everyone in that kingdom will be praising Christ. Now, there's more to it when we get to back to the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights, but let's just focus on that right now. The picture of verse of chapter 25 is what's going on with Israel. Remember, the Bible's a Jewish book. Largely Jewish authors, a Jewish nation. And so when we look at the millennial kingdom, as Christians, we just, you know, we're the bride of Christ, and we come back and we celebrate that. But in God's redemption story, it's the time where he gathers his children, the children of Israel, where they finally get it. Now let's just do a little history. God says, Abraham, get you up out of here. Go over here. I'm going to make a nation. Abraham has Isaac, and then Jacob comes, and Jacob's sons, and they go into Egypt, and a king, a pharaoh that knew not Joseph, rises up, and they put Israel in bondage for over 400 years. And finally, God sends a prophet by the name of Moses, and they are taken out of Egypt and into the promised land, ultimately through Joshua, leads them all the way there. And they don't remember, and they remembered not the Lord. How many times does the Old Testament tell us that? And they remembered not the Lord. God's like, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're like, we're blind to that, Lord. Build us a molten calf, Aaron. We don't care about that, God. We're going on. Don't do anything on the Sabbath day. And some guy goes out and picks up all the sticks on the Sabbath day, and he gets killed. Don't be afraid to go into the promised land. Oh, God, we can't take them. We be like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. And a couple of guys, Joshua and Caleb, say, no, we can take them. No, we can't. And fear. They get through there. They finally get to the promised land. The next thing that happens is we see the book of Judges. They've turned away from the Lord. We go through the book of Judges. God saves them. They act stupid. God saves them. They act stupid. God saves them. They act stupid. Finally, at the end of the book of Judges, we don't want God to be our king. We want a king like other nations. And they get Saul. Saul acts like a fool. They get David. And David does good for a while. And then David goes out and is an adulterer and a murderer and a liar. And then David has Solomon, and Solomon acts like a fool and gets 700 wives and concubines. And you see what I'm saying? All through the Old Testament, they go up and down, and we're going to be good. We're going to tear down the high places, but they never tear down the groves. And Josiah's like, National Repentance Day. We have found the law. Let's read it, and everybody do good. How long that lasts? Not very long. And his son comes out, and he's wicked, acts like a fool. This has been going on for thousands of years. So in this day, when they actually get it, all of Israel plus all the Gentile nations come together and worship the one true God for the first time in one accord. It's an amazing thing. It really is when you read this. Look at verses 10 and through 12. Verse 10. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill, or threshed. He shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy wall shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. Now, if you're just reading through this in your Bible, you're not going to get this. And so this is why Bible study is really important. Moab are the descendants of Lot. When Lot's daughters, once, because Sodom and Gomorrah have been destroyed, their mothers turned to a pillar of salt, we got to have a baby by dad. And Moab, one of them has the Ammonites, and one of the daughters has the Moabites. And so the descendants of Moab, well, who are the descendants of Moab? These are one strand, along with the Ammonites, but one strand of the Arabic people, of the Arab nations. And so you look all around Israel, and these Arab nations that have largely, now specifically here, we're looking at Jordan. This is this area. So what are those Arab people? Not all, but a lot of them are Muslim. They're not Jews, but they're Islamic. And not, listen, they're not all Arabs are not terrorists, so don't go there, don't be racist, all right? But the people around there ultimately hate Israel, and they hate our God, and so through that, there has been always turmoil and arguing. But verses 10 through 12 say this, that even the Arab nations that have hated Israel so long will be humbled in that day. It says that in that day, ultimately, the word that we get here is the same word we get for abased. When it's down under, they're abased. They are humbled. They are brought to their knees. Finally, God, the descendants of Lot, this father of the Arabian descent of people here, the Moabites, those nations who have so long hated Israel, will now become subservient to Israel through the Jewish Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. And think about how drastic this is. I'm going to make this as drastic as I can, so stay with me. This would like me becoming the Grand Dragon of the KKK. That's how drastic this is. That all of a sudden the KKK is like, you know what? We just love black people. Why don't you come in here and be the Grand Wizard? Okay. They just love. This is how drastic it is. I'm trying to make this real to you. In the millennial kingdom, it's so drastic that the people who have despised Israel, who have been so against them, all of a sudden, the rod of iron comes in, Jesus Christ sitting upon the throne of his father David, and they go, okay, that Jewish guy up there, he's God. He's the Messiah. We worship you. It's crazy. When you read through this and understand the book of Isaiah, and then, did you know Michael Phelps was in the Bible? Did you know that? I'll see who's with me. Look at verse 11. Michael Phelps is in here. It says it. As he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. See that? It's in there. It actually is the illustration. As a swimmer parts the water, God will part the pride of the Arabic nations in that day. He will part them. Now, I can't swim, so I think you do it like this. I do it like this. Save me. If I get out there past where I can't walk no more, I got to call a lifeline or somebody like that. And don't judge me, because I'll be out there with my Ninja Turtle floaties on. If that's what I got to do. But as a part, think about that verse, and I think about, you know, God, he's parted things before, hasn't he? What about the Red Sea? What about the Jordan? What about, watch this, we don't often think about this, but what about God parting the sea of humanity to send his son Jesus forth? It's interesting to me in verse 12 here, and a fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low and bring to the ground, even to the dust. The military power that the Arabic nations have had will all be gone. All those nations that are currently surrounding Israel, that are a threat to the safety of Israel. We know not really, because we know God will supernaturally step in. But all those nations that are surrounding, that are these Arab people, these Arabic descent, and all Arab means is that they speak Arabic, okay? And so, again, they're not Muslims. That just means that they are of Arabic descent, that the Moabites went out this way, and they speak a different language, okay? In the Bible, ultimately, that would be, even Jesus spoke this language, kind of that mixture of Aramaic, okay? They've moved out there, so Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, this would be these people, and now it's moved to Arab-speaking countries. But it's so neat to understand that God forever. Now, I know at the end of the millennial kingdom, a new group of people rise up. Satan goes out and deceives some people, but they're not these people. These are the people, if you look at the Bible, that are coming from the East and what we believe to be modern day Russia and China come Confederate. But I think it's interesting here. Now, let's go to chapter 26. We're going to read a whole chapter of the Bible together. The first half of this chapter is a psalm of praise. It's redeemed Israel in the millennium, looking back at all that God has done. You know, God's a God who wants us to look back at all that he's done. He wants us to have a memorial. He says all the time, and this shall be a memorial to you. And this shall be, pray for me. Remember I told you I was reading through Leviticus? Well, I've moved on to Numbers, and it ain't much better. I'm like, Lord, can I? I'm just trying to hurry up and get to Deuteronomy where it's like I can understand a little bit more. You know, it's like, what is going on here, right? And I got to my reading and I'm just like, oh, Lord, why did you put these two books together? Could we break them up a little bit? For me personally, Lord, have mercy on thy servant, Lord. I thought about Brother Anthony when I was reading that, when I was talking this morning. I didn't say it out loud, but it's like, when that person knocked on my door, I was like, just imagine if that was at Brother Anthony's house. It'd be like, the Lord says he's coming as a thief in the night. Anthony's like, Lord, you better give me a warning. Like, Anthony come out blasting. He'd be like, I'm sorry, Lord, can I heal thyself? You know what I'm saying? I think about that. But it has nothing to do with anything, but let's go back to this. Chapter 20. I was thinking about that. It tickled me when I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, I could just see Anthony like, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I shot you. You know, it's like, please heal thyself, Lord. He's like, Anthony said it. Anyway, we better read chapter 26 before I get in trouble. All right. So this song of praise, this first half of what God's done in the millennium and what he's done prior to that. But then it turns back to prophecy again at the end of the chapter. It turns back to this warning of the impending hardships of the tribulation. It's Isaiah's kind of all over. Isaiah's one of my favorite preachers. He's like me. He's like scatterbrained. He's like, he goes here, and then all of a sudden it's like squirrel, and he's over there with it, you know? But you're going to see something here that's very similar to Ezekiel's vision later on here. Let's read Isaiah 26. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. This is Israel. Through the oracles of Israel, we have the Bible. Amen? And so, certainly, this is speaking of the Bible. The truth. Thy word is truth. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I think there was a pastor that used that verse this morning who said that's one of his favorite verses, right? Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. That is literally the fulfillment of on earth as it is in heaven. That's what the millennial kingdom does. In that day, everything will be on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to get this. The millennial kingdom, everything's perfect. Nobody dies. Just living 1,000 years, just living. You woke up, you're like, man, I'm 995 years old today. Like, how you feel? I feel amazing. What are you talking about? It's great. This is the millennial kingdom. And we know it's the millennial kingdom. We know Jesus is ruling for 1,000 years when that happens. We're there ruling and reigning with him in the millennial kingdom. Now, somebody told me the weather's perfect in the millennial kingdom. I don't know that for sure. I know it is in heaven, but some of you, there's Baptists in the millennial kingdom. So I don't know that even God can get the temperature right for everybody. You know, it's so funny, like, when you're a Baptist preacher, if people always got something to say, and, you know, they're always chit-chattering behind your back, and you just know this, I know everything. I'm not omniscient, but I know everything. Like, the Lord speaks to me, and everybody in this church is a snitch. They tell me everything. I know. So even if you don't think I know, I know. And I just let it go. But if I got up here and just start every church, that's not just our church, but listen to me. I want you to get this. The Baptist preacher is never going to get the temperature right. I'm up here sweating. If it was up to me, this stupid thing is set on 68 and some of y'all are freezing. If it was up to me, it would be 55 degrees in here all the time. And you could just put on a jacket and me and my little bald head would be up here feeling good. I walked outside today and I'm shaking hands and everybody said, it's so cold out here. It's so cold out here. And I'm thinking to myself, praise God in heaven. I hope the millennial kingdom is a nice toasty 35 with a chance of snow. I mean, I can't wait till we get to the millennial kingdom. Lord, it's so hot out here. It's 95 degrees, Lord. And Jesus is like, well, let me turn the temperature down. He makes it 55. And then the other group of Baptists on the other side, Lord, that's why there's First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Fourth Baptist. It's not because of doctrine. It's because of the temperature. They say, we have First Baptist. We don't like what they put the thermostat on, so we go into Second Baptist. You know? That's not true. Don't go back and look that up. There's other reasons. Somebody here is going to be like, my pastor said the reason why they're Second Baptist is because they kept it too hot at First Baptist. That's not. I got to make sure. I just make sure that's clear. The millennial kingdom. Everything's perfect. Nobody dies. Listen to me. Get some joy out of this. Kids are born. Now here, this is going to be, I don't want it to be sad, but I want it to be powerful. In the millennial kingdom, because there's no murder, there's no crime, there's no abortion. Because everything's perfect, there's no miscarriages. Because everything's perfect, there's no backbiting or gossiping. Because everything's perfect, there's no laziness. Thank the Lord! I don't want to get into going to stores again. I don't want to bring it up. All I'm saying to you is, I went to Kroger this week, and there's some lazy people in there. Amen. Lazy. All right, now, there's no laziness in the millennial kingdom. Praise the Lord. When I go and take my little produce up to the front desk or to the register, and I say, ma'am, could you get this? They say, sure, how can I help you? Everybody's Chick-fil-A. It's amazing. In the millennial kingdom, now this is, ooh. Let me walk on like holy ground for a moment. I might want to take my shoes off. There's no denominations in the millennial kingdom. Ain't nobody in the millennial kingdom worried about, I mean, sheesh, we got American Baptist, regular Baptist, we got First Baptist, we got Second Baptist, we got Independent Baptist, we got Southern Baptist, we got, I mean, I feel like Bubba Gump talking about shrimp when it comes to even just Baptists. Sheesh, well, that's about it. You know what I mean? There's no United Methodist and Christian Methodist Episcopal and American and African Methodist. There is none of that. It's all, we just love Jesus. We're just all under his love and his rule. It's perfect. It's good. Nobody's worried about or arguing about this or that. It's perfect. And so they're singing this song of praise, and they're specifically speaking of the Jews, but it's talking about all the world, all these hardships are over. Go back there. In verse 8, watch this. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee. Whew. We've waited for everybody to live this out perfectly. If everybody was doing the Bible perfectly, wouldn't have no problems, would we? No problems, would we? Remember what I said? Some of you weren't here, so you don't remember. Remember what I said about Moses? Moses, he's the only person that broke all the commandments, but never committed murder, right? Because he came down and broke the tablets, right? He wrote all. Nobody's breaking no commandments in the millennial kingdom. Could you imagine a day without where nobody lies? Oh my goodness. Could you imagine a day where nobody steals? Can you imagine a day where there's no murder? Can you imagine a day where there's nobody jealous or coveting? Can you imagine a day where everybody is worshiping. Parents, you're going to like this. Could you imagine a day where there's no kids back talking?
Oh, no.
Boy, if that ever happened, I'd be like the little boy from Home Alone. Nobody's talking back. What's going on? I tell you what, man, the millennial kingdom sounds pretty good to me.
Amen.
And it lasts 1,000 years. It just keeps on going. We wake up one day and like, yes, dear, the kids really are being well-behaved today, aren't they? Yes, they are. And we got the next day. We've got some of the best kids in the world, don't we? Wake up the next day. These children are wonderful. They never backtalk. They just do their chores. And wake up the next day. These kids are amazing. 1,000 years of that. Praise God. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you ought to shout it right there. That ought to have done something to you right there. All the other stuff, you're like, as long as nobody's lying on me, as long as nobody's stealing my stuff. But when you hear that children are obedient every day for 1,000 years, that should have made a Baptist shout. Somebody should have said something. Probably make a Methodist faint if they heard that. But you, a Baptist, should have shouted. Now, I used to be Methodist. I look at that and I think to myself, imagine what the world that's doing everything the Bible says, and they say we've waited for it, and the desire of our soul is to thy name and the remembrance of thee. These people want to do exactly what God said to do. I'm not a perfect man, but you know, I really, that verse resonates with me because that's my desire for the flock that God gives me. Oh, my soul. When there's no infighting, when nobody knocks on my door on Tuesday, Pastor, oops, when nobody texts me and says this is going on or calls me, when there's nothing to go to the complaint department, when that's all at ease, oh, the joy it brings me when everybody's doing it right. And I desire and I long and I wait for that and my soul yearns for that. And then when those days when it's going really good, that's why I like to celebrate here at Assurance Baptist Church. That's why we like to have good things. When we see a little baby like Leah get dedicated to the Lord, when we have a visitor here, I don't care if it's one visitor or whatever, Miss Nancy will ask me in the prayer list, do we have any visitors? And we put it in there and we always put an exclamation mark behind the praises because I want to celebrate. Why? Because God says he wants us to remember. He says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments on the earth, the inhabitants of the world will in righteousness, learn in righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of uprightness. Will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. You know what's going on there? Is right before the millennial kingdom, God has tried the world. And even the ones who make it through, who are going to get saved there. And again, we're talking about the Jewish nation. There are going to be a whole bunch of Pauls who have been persecuting Christianity as Jews all their life. They've been holding all the Jewish holidays and they've said Christians are crazy. They believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they've been doing all the things they do. And when the millennial kingdom comes and they get saved, all those enemies, all those that were at enmity, at war with God, are going to be right. The blinking of an eye, twinkling of an eye. They're going to get saved. Verse 12, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Next week, we're going to talk about peace and death on our morning series. Peace and death, but it doesn't sound like a pretty topic, but it is. But what I look at and see here is this. God ordains peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all of our works in us, or for us. Watch this. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. You know what the greatest lord over most people, even Christians, is? Death. The number one thing people fear is death. Now, it may mask itself in something else. People will say, I'm afraid to fly. But they're not really afraid to fly. They're afraid to crash. Come on. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like to drive on the highway. I have probably driven on the highway twice in the last 3 years. And ever since I hired Brandon, he's like, man, I'm like, Brandon, you drive everywhere. He's like, man, he's like, I think you hired me to drive. I'm like, that's what the old gangsters did in the old gangster movies. They sat in the back with a curtain and like a limousine. And sometimes I sit in the back and make him drive. And I tap him on the shoulder and be like, hey, could we stop at Burger King? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I hate driving on the highway. But I'm not afraid to drive on the highway because I'm afraid to drive, because I drive. I'm afraid to die on the highway. And not because of my driving, but you see these idiots, they ran over the fire hydrant again. Y'all think I'm kidding? These fools can't drive. I'll be on the highway like, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm not trying to go today. The fire hydrant's way off the road. How do you hit it? And then you want me to go 75 miles per hour with these fools on 75. I'm good. Let somebody else do it. No, I don't want to cast fear on you, but most people aren't afraid of, but people aren't generally afraid. You know what? Bullies. Bullies in school, and somebody's bigger than me, and they're not really afraid. Pain is temporary. People ultimately aren't afraid of bullies. They're afraid of what the bully can do to them. They're afraid of death. They're afraid something could happen where it's going to hurt me. In that day, remember what we talked about earlier, death has been swallowed up. Death has been swallowed up. I'm not afraid to die because death has no power over me, because there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory. I need the cleansing flood. Listen, I'm not afraid because death has been swallowed up when he rose from the grave. He defeated death, right? And so when we see that, watch the very next thing that's said here. He said, we have other gods, these death, but verse 14, they are dead. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Time out. These are Jewish people. We're talking about Israel. What is the greatest? What did Jesus say is the greatest sign? He says, no sign shall be given unto you except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. And as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the earth. And the third day he rose from the grave. And so all the other little g gods, even the god of death, they all, even death dies while we live. Now that was profound. That was pretty good preaching. Let's try it again. Think about this. Even death dies while we continue to live. You ever think about that? Death is gone, and we're living. We're looking at death and going, you thought you had me, didn't you? But I rose up. Oh, glorious day. Because living, he loved me, and dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And one day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Isn't that a good thing? Somebody, I mean, listen, I don't know. Brother Chuck, sometimes I wonder about these people. If they got a pulse, we need to schedule a whole bunch of people for pacemakers in this place, boy. Some of y'all's hurt, man. I'm digging deep, and I thought that was, I get me excited. Even death is deceased. That's like, what do you call that in the Christian English? Like, that's like a double negative. Death is deceased. That's like saying can't and won't back to back. Dead. That's weird, ain't it? Like, that's what's dead. Dead's dead. It's just incredibly crazy, isn't it? That's what it is. But now he's going to start to flip this back to prophecy for a moment here. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far into all the ends of the earth. And so the nation is going to be blessed and prosperous in this time. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Ooh, that's speaking of the death of Christ. They're praying, get rid of him. Let's do something with him. You ever notice in the Bible, Caiaphas is the high priest and Annas is his son-in-law, I believe. And then the next thing in the book of Acts, he's the high priest. You talk about nepotism, all these things that are going on. There's trouble. Like as a woman with child that draweth near, the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs. So we have been in thy sight, O Lord. Oh, I think we just talked about that in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Israel has been this woman. in pain all this time. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have it, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. Shall they arise, awake, and sing, ye that dwell in the dust? For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Now listen, it's not the tribulation, the great tribulation. This is tribulation on earth, and it's specifically tribulation that Jesus talks about while Jesus was living in the things after the resurrection. Notice what it says, the dead men shall live. The greatest mark of the Messiah to come is that the dead would rise again. Brother Chuck sang it this morning, actually, when he was singing Mary, Did You Know? And for all of your information, I don't dislike that song. I like the song, but there's things in it that are just doctrinally wrong. Mary didn't know that Jesus was going to walk on water, but she knew when she kissed her little baby that she kissed the face of God, because the angel told her, this is Emmanuel, God with us. So see what people say, I thought Pastor didn't like the song. I like the song musically. It just isn't 100% accurate, okay? And that's okay. It's not blasphemous. It's just, so if you go around here, Pastor, I don't like that song. No, Maddie knows the only Christmas song that I hate. Maddie, do you know, remember what it is? Baby Changes Everything. No! It's great words. I just don't like the tune, all right? Just me personally. Anybody wants to sing it, they're welcome to sing it. I just don't like it. But it ain't all about me. Watch this. The dead men shall live. The greatest prophecy of Christ, hey, listen, great. The blind shall see, the deaf shall hear, but then that part, the dead shall live again. Ooh. Hey, the lame will leap, right? The mute will speak, the praises of I. Oh, that's all great. But that part about the dead will live again? Look, man, if I was blind and you caused me to see, great. But if I was dead like Lazarus and I came forth out of the grave cloth, Lazarus couldn't even get the grave cloth off. He's walking up, he's like, go ahead and unbound him. He's alive. Lazarus came out there, surely he stinks by now, Lord. And Jesus is like, don't worry about that. I'm the resurrection and life. And for that miracle that was done there, remember this in John chapter 12, after Lazarus' resurrection, people come because Lazarus is eating dinner. He's up there. I mean, he's got I don't know what he had. He had food. Amen. He had beans and peas and potatoes, tomatoes, and chicken and turkey and rabbit, Shirley Caesar style, right? Yeah, he had all that, hog maws. I'm just saying, he had all that. But, oh, you got that song in your head. You're so bad. And they come, and the Bible says this in John chapter 12, man, that they came to that dinner for, some of them came to see Jesus, but it said, by reason of him. They wanted to see the dead man that was risen from the dead. That's the greatest sign. Isaiah predicted it. He prophesied it. This is going to happen. There's going to be some trial, but a baby's going to come and be born, and we're going to be in pain, and Rachel's children shall cry because Herod's going to go out and kill them all, but he's going to die, and he's going to raise, and that's going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened in humanity, is that the Savior lives. Amen. And thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, and they shall arise. Oh, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like the rapture to me. Even if my body goes to the grave, can't no grave hold my body down. Because I'm going to rise up in such fashion as Jesus went up. I'm going to ascend at the rapture, whether I be dead or whether I be alive. The dead in Christ shall rise. And it says, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and earth shall cast out of the dead. Oh, again. But you know what else that is? That's Ezekiel 37. These dead bones, these dry bones will rise up. These dry, man, I can't wait till my dry bones raise up and I'm gathered together in the air with the Lord. And the Bible says I'm going to be singing a song. I don't know what song I'm going to be singing, but I'm going to think about it. I got a solo coming. Amen. And I'm going to let my bones rise up and I'm going to be thinking of something good. I'll probably sing like one of them old gospel songs, Hezekiah Walker, something like that. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll go even further back and I might sing like the Clark Sisters or something, like the old Clark Sisters, not the new Clark Sisters. Or maybe I'll sing something new, more modern, some Smokey Norfolk or something like that. I don't know. I might be so happy in Jesus. You know how I do. I might mess up and sing an old Motown song and make it Jesus-like. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus, I need your loving. I don't know. Sometimes things come to my head like that. But, I might be the Four Tops on my way to heaven. I don't know. But I'm be singing. I'm be happy. Praise the Lord. Y'all act like, you see, I love Christians. Y'all just act like it's just so good on earth. Amen. It's so good. We talk about going to the millennial kingdom. We talk about going to heaven. We talk about being with Jesus. When I hear something like that, you're like, this is just no ordinary thing. Y'all just act like y'all just, it's like poor people that get a little money and act like they always have money. Now, y'all can act like, I know I'm a Baptist preacher and I might be cheap, but you won't find money on the ground no more because people broke. It used to be I'd be outside and I don't even find pennies on the ground no more. When I was a kid, I'd be looking for all the pennies on head. They said that was good luck. Now that I'm a Christian, I don't care about luck, but I'm cheap and I'd be looking for pennies. Y'all know how I do? I go to Aldi and I'd be praying that somebody leaves their cart for me, and then I got my quarter. When I come out, I push their cart in and get that quarter too. I'm getting rich. They just built a new Aldi in Troy. Boy, I've been cleaning up. Ask Jaleese. This is a true story. Last week, me and Jaleese and Savannah went, and people left their carts out, two carts out. I had my quarter. I went in. I looked around. I said, well, nobody's going to take these carts. This is not productive for Aldi. I pushed the carts in and got a quarter. I got 50 cent richer last week. You say, Pastor, you are dirty. That is mean. You call it what you want. I call it Brysonomics. If y'all paid me more, I wouldn't have to. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Just kidding. The millennial kingdom is just so amazing, and it's such a blessing, and the dead men shall live. Did you ever think about that? When you go to the millennial kingdom, you would have been dead, but you're alive again. You'll be just like Lazarus. You died at some point or were raptured at some point, and when Jesus comes back to rule and reign and the saints of God, us, come with him, you would have been dead, and now you're alive and you're ruling. And there's some people that are living in the millennial kingdom and they've never died before. And they'd be like, hey, I heard you died before. Yep, I did. I died back in 2057. Yep. What got you? Oh, you know, I just got old. I didn't eat good and things like that, so I died in a good old age. I was about 85 years old. Oh, what was the world like back in 2057? Oh, it was pretty good and some things were going on, but, you know, Jesus called me up. They'd be like, I never died before. You'd be like, well, you know what? You're in the millennial kingdom now, so pretty good. I guess you got it good. Now, they going to kind of die in a sense, but can you imagine that? People are going to be coming out and being like, little kids, I can imagine this. You ever seen that movie Stand By Me? And they go to see the dead body? We're going to be like those people. We could be up there ruling with Jesus, and little kids in the millennial kingdom be like, I see dead people. They saw us up there. They're like, died before. We were like, that was us. We died. We've been resurrected. It's amazing. Let's finish it out here. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, of a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. God, what he does there, we prophesy. He talks about how good the millennial kingdom is going to be, but he kind of preaches the gospel in the middle of it, and then he reverses it to a warning to warn the people that if you want to be a part of this prosperity and peace in the millennial kingdom, then you need to avoid the wrath, because the righteous indignation, the wrath of God is coming. And the only way to avoid it is by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So Isaiah 25 and 26, to me, are exciting things. And as they match up with what we're looking at in the book of Revelation, really exciting. But God is good. We are going to pray, and then we'll receive the offering. I want to give you a couple of points of information here. It's about 6:06. We're going to be getting out of here about 6:15. We'll have about a 15-minute break. If you have children in Awana, this is very important, and you are going to take the Lord's Supper, we will need you to go to the kids' classrooms at 6:30, grab them. The Awana workers know this. Bring them in here. Your children need to sit with you. Okay, we're the Lord's Supper. We're trying to make this thing more reverent. And I want everybody to sit closer, so fill in the rows. Don't anybody sit way in the back, because our guys are going to be coming to serve them, so make it easier for them. Go pack in a little bit. Act like you like each other. But go get your kids. Bring them in here. And make sure your kids behave and are quiet, and that they know that this is a very reverent thing. That we don't do it that often, but it's very important. Some of the kids are too little, not too little, but they're not saved yet, so they're not going to be receiving. Some of them are. That's always a hard thing when some of them are like, oh, I want to take it, and big brother's taking it or big sister's taking it. But listen, do your part as a parent to explain to them why, and it's a great informational piece to teach them. This isn't why you get saved and why you get baptized, but it's something great to aspire to, that you can partake in this someday. Amen? And so I want you to be very careful to make sure that we do this reverently. There'll be a little music playing in the background. We've got everything in order. But I'm very excited. I'm always excited to take the Lord's Supper. And I want you to hear this. This is important, because sometimes I think the Lord's Supper is the same way. We're irreverent with it because we're so capable of taking it as a people. You know, on Mondays, most of you don't even know this, but on Mondays after the Lord's Supper, I go to the nursing home or to our shut-ins that are able to take and you know, perform and give the Lord's Supper unto those folks. And one of those folks last week, actually two of them, bawled their eyes out because, you know, we go 4 months, and they can't be here with their church family. And so that is special between us, that I'm able to go there with them and break bread. And we don't really think about that on our own because we're able. But when I'm able to do that, you know, these are saved and baptized members of our church. You know, Brother Steve Chapman, he's been in the hospital. He's at the rehab. And so I was telling him, Brother Steve, you know, he's always been able to be here. I'm going to be coming tomorrow. And he just tore off crying. Just, Pastor, I just, you know. Betty Robbins, you know, we told her, hey, you know, Dick, he's not having any idea what I'm doing tomorrow. He has no idea what to do. But for her to be able to take that with her husband, you know, it's just special, right? And she vocalized that last week. And so I want you to realize how special it is and what a blessing it is that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for us and that his blood was shed for us. And that we need to be very reverent. So at 6:30, go get your kids, bring them back in here, make sure everybody goes to the bathroom, make sure everybody's done what they need to do, get them back in here, and we'll get started. Make sure they're sitting with you and keep them under control to the best of your abilities. I know kids are kids, but you be the parent here, and then we'll receive the Lord's Supper, and we'll have a good night there. Brother Chuck and Miss Bev will close us out there with a hymn, and we'll have a sweet time of fellowship, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father God, thank you for this time you've given us. Lord, thank you for the promise of the peace of your kingdom on earth, and that, Lord, should we be raptured or die before, we'll see that what it looks like in heaven. But, Lord, we potentially could live through and be in the rapture, and when we return, we'll be on earth in the millennial kingdom, and we'll see literally peace on this earth like it's never been before. Father, I thank you for thy righteous judgments. I thank you for your grace and salvation. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this time of prayer and invitation. Lord, and as the music plays tonight, we just come to you humbly bowing. Should there be one here tonight that says, I want to receive the Lord's Supper, but there's just still something going on or something I want to make sure I get right before I receive. And a great time right now to come to the altar and just make sure you're right with the Lord, to cleanse yourself and to be good. So you can come now if that's what it is that you need to do. Hometown crowd, I don't believe there's anyone in this crowd that doesn't know the Lord as Savior, but I don't want to take it for chance. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the wrath of God is still upon you, and you get out of your seat right now. Jesus came out of the grave for you. You can come out of your seat for him. You get up now and come, and I'll show you right from the Bible how to be saved. Tonight, Lord, I pray you have your way and will as we do business with you. In Jesus' name.